never heard him speak in terms of, here's the message for that Sunday. God spoke to me at a movie theater. Bridge, the boys, and I went to see The Hobbit a little over a week ago. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, J.R.R. Tolkien, the guy who wrote The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit was actually written. He wrote it for eight-year-olds. That's his target audience for that book, The Hobbit. And it's the story of a hobbit. You know, they're kind of a mythical race, about 4 feet tall or so, rural. They did not enjoy adventure of any kind. They didn't want contact with the big people, the outside world. You know, they wanted as little as possible. And it's the story of this guy, Bilbo Baggins, this hobbit, and how he ends up on an adventure. And I'm not going to give any spoilers to either the book or the movie in case you haven't seen or read it. I'd read it before you watch the movie. Movie was good. Books are always better, my opinion. But there's a point in the movie that when the line was said, it just jumped out to me. And it stuck with me. And it took a couple days before I kind of connected all the dots. But as the story goes, Bilbo joins a company of dwarves who they've had their home taken from them. And they're going to go and get it back. And that's kind of what this adventure is about. And Bilbo Baggins, this hobbit who's, I mean, a good day for him is to sit on his front porch and watch people go by knowing that he has a full pantry back in his little hobbit hole. Hobbits love to eat. And he goes on this adventure where he's been sleeping out in the wild and his life has been threatened numerous times. But there's a point in the story where he has an opportunity to, you know, with no consequences, he can leave. He could leave that company of dwarves, even though he said he was going to follow them, he's going to go with them. Even though some of them think he's really not suited for this kind of thing, and he's not. But he has a chance to go home. And he decides not to. And just as the dwarves are wondering, where is he and did he get out? And they're kind of thinking he's lost. And he's there listening. And he has a chance. He can turn around and he can go home. But he comes and he appears to them and they're kind of startled. And he gets asked by the leader of that company, you had the chance to go home. Why didn't you? And Bilbo's answer is this, and this is what hit me. He said, I have a home. Yours was taken from you. If there's anything I can do to get your home back for you, I will. That line hit me. And it started me thinking about, again, just kind of all of a sudden, God kind of started drawing kind of a map for me of different thoughts. Because in that statement to me mirrored Christ. See, sometimes we don't think of Jesus as being, as it says, a refugee. Jesus was a refugee in a couple ways. First, Jesus did experience a period in his life where he was a refugee like the dwarves were. The dwarves in this story, they had their home taken from them. They had to flee their home for safety. Sometimes we don't remember this, but there is a period in Jesus' life as a child. Right around the age of 2 years old, not more than that, where Mary and Joseph left for Egypt for fear that King Herod would kill their son, would kill Jesus. And we read in Matthew's gospel that Herod did, in fact, issue a decree. And all male children under the age of three were killed in the area of Bethlehem and the vicinity around. Scholars estimate probably would have been around 20 boys, no more than 30. Actually, extremely small on the scale of what Herod used to do. But there is a point in Jesus' life where he had to flee for his safety. And even when news came that Herod had died, Joseph did not return to where he and Mary grew up. They went to Nazareth because where they had been, one of Herod's sons was still ruling. And so for fear, they still, Jesus grew up in a different place. They were outsiders. There wasn't the family support as it would have been in so much else of other villages and towns and families. Jesus was a refugee. We live in a world that has numerous refugees. We're a country that takes in refugees. But there are some people, they're in a sense refugees within their own nation because of either civil war or other things that are going on. But just something to think about to start. Jesus was a refugee. Here's the main thought for this morning. Jesus also is pictured, because Tolkien was a follower of Christ. His stories, both The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, have a biblical moral foundation running right through both of the tales. Bilbo, in that statement, where he says to the dwarves, "You're right, I have a home, but you don't. But if I can help you get yours back, if I can help you have a home, I will." What we celebrate at Christmas is that Jesus left his home to enter into a broken world so that people who live in a broken world could have a home. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. This is why Christ came. And again, we talk about so often, we celebrate Jesus' birth. And it's true, but it's so surface as to what the meaning of Christmas is. Jesus left his home so that we could have a home, so that all people could have a home. Let me just say these are well-known passages. Extremely well-known. In fact, they're so well-known, the first one I actually used a little bit on Christmas Eve. The second one, if you've been to a funeral in the past year, I guarantee you've heard these words. Listen to these words in the connection of that thought that Jesus left his home to invite others to have a home. First is Philippians chapter 2. Paul, quoting what was considered, scholars considered, this was the first Christian hymn. This is the first recorded song within the church. They used the Psalms, but this was the first kind of post-Jesus song in the church. And I'm just reading the first half of it. But listen to Paul's words. He says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross." Jesus left home. Listen to the words of Jesus now. John chapter 14. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." I'm sure most of you have heard these words countless times. But have you ever connected the dots in this way? Jesus left his home to invite you into his, to give you a home for eternity. Not because he had to, because he wanted to. How about another classic statement of Jesus, just to wrap some of this up? Again, so familiar, if you want to, you can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For the Son of God did not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. See, Jesus became a refugee. We don't think about it in these terms. But this is what Jesus did. He voluntarily left home. He voluntarily became a refugee. A number of years ago, was at a youth conference, and one of the speakers, the keynote speaker, can't remember his name offhand, apologize to him for that. What he did is, well, I got to start with his experience first. He's young 20s, he's going down the street with some of his friends, and there was someone who was homeless, who was asking for some money, asking for some change, and what he caught himself doing was purposefully talking to the person beside him so that he could have his head turned so he could kind of act as though he had not seen that person. And the Holy Spirit just grabbed a hold of him in the moments after that and said, there's someone that I love, and you intentionally, consciously turned your attention away from them. And so this kind of grabbed him. He was wrestling with God. So what am I supposed to do with this? Because that by the time he really kind of got that conviction that he should have done something different or gone back, it was too late. How does he find this person again? And so he's wrestling with God. And so what he ended up doing was for a period of, it was either 4 or 6 months. I believe it was six. He intentionally became homeless. He lived on the streets. He lived in 5 different cities. He talked with, lived with those who are homeless in different cities, talking with them. What is their experience? How does the church enter into it? How does the church kind of witness and had some really positive experiences and had some really negative experiences? It's all in a book called Under the Overpass. I've got a copy of it, probably at home, but I've got a copy of it if you're interested, or you can go online and order it. I would encourage you to do that in the sense of if that's kind of an area of your life you go, yeah, you know, that kind of side of life, no, I'm really arm's length. Let God challenge you. See, this guy voluntarily left home to enter into that world. Jesus did more than what this guy did. Jesus left his home, entering into our brokenness, entering into our broken world to offer healing, to offer an invitation to a home that can never be broken. See, here's one of the things that we know this, but sometimes I think we guard ourselves against it. We have, culturally we do this. Our culture is wonderful, is amazing at turning its eyes and ears away from the brokenness in our society. That's why our entertainment industry is so profitable. I was talking with someone a few days ago. The word amusement, you know where the word amusement comes from? You know the word origin? The word amuse comes from Greek. Ah, meaning opposite of or without. You know, so we're used to talking about atheists, those who are, you know, opposite to or against or without God. Atheists. Muse is where we get the word thought. See, amusement is the process or an opportunity or engagement that requires no thinking. That's not a bad thing sometimes. Those of us who are guys, you know, ever had your wife ask you, what are you thinking about? And you say, nothing. We relax by not thinking. Guys, we have that capacity. Wives, just saying, they're not lying when they say nothing. That's how we relax, most of us as guys. But our society, and probably most of us as well, engage in a lot more amusement than we need to. Because amusement, we don't have to think about other things that are going on. We can kind of shelter ourselves from the outside world. And our society is great in that, because here's the reality. Even in Canada, we live in a broken society. I'm not saying it's horrible, it's awful. I'm saying it's just not working as God's designed. It's not working as it should. Not all people have equality. Not all people have safety. Not all people have security. Not all people, including most of us, have wholeness in all areas of our life. We live in a broken world. Look at the news. Demonstrations in India over an act of, I won't get into details if you haven't heard, mass assault upon a young woman. Protests going on. Why? Because they're saying our society is broken. We live in a society where not just abortion is practiced, but on a percentage basis, much more female children are aborted than male. Both practices, abortion itself and the gender inequality in the practice, is a sign that our society is broken. We live in a broken world. We cannot, especially as followers of Jesus, we cannot ignore that fact. We cannot turn our eyes away. We cannot be like the guy walking down the street, seeing the homeless person on the side, whatever the area of brokenness around us, in our communities, in our families, in our workplaces, whatever issues God touches your heart with, we cannot be like ones who would turn and walk past as though it is not there. And the reason we cannot do that is because Jesus left his home to enter into a broken world, to invite those in that world to healing and wholeness and to a home with him. See, as followers of Jesus, we are just that. Followers of Jesus. His example is to be our practice. Sometimes we kind of separate the two. We can get caught up in, let's make sure our theology is right. Let's make sure our rituals are right. Let's make sure all of that. Can I just offer this thought? I haven't found anywhere in Scripture yet where God says, following me requires you to take a theology exam and to get it all right. Or may I suggest, perhaps even to get a really good grade. One of the most powerful parables that Jesus gives about what God is looking for in his people is found in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus is talking about the day of judgment, and he gives a number of different parables. But the final parable of that chapter is the one where the king is about to pronounce judgment, and he splits people into a group on the right and the left. They're called the sheep and the goats. And the basis for the judgment has nothing to do with whether or not your theology is right. It has nothing to do with whether or not your church attendance record is sparkling. It has everything to do with how have you cared for those who are in a place of brokenness. The hungry, the thirsty, those in prison, those who are without clothing. Just some of the categories that the king, because the sheep, even the ones who kind of passed that test, they didn't even know. what did we do? When did we serve you in that way? When did we serve you? It's like Jesus, God says, look, when you serve those who are broken, you're serving me. That is the test the King gives. I'm not saying that what we believe isn't important. I'm saying that within our evangelical churches, we too often focus on truth at the expense of service and getting involved in the brokenness of the world around us. Here's what I'll give as an evidence of that. Whenever you hear of churches splitting or arguing or debating amongst themselves, is it about doctrine? Or are they getting upset at one another? Or are there divisions that are happening because they're arguing over how to serve those who are broken, to serve the community around them? I'm not going to say that conversation's never happened, but I think our history shows we get all caught up on whether or not we're all right in everything we say and believe. Rather than, are we actually challenging one another to live out the truths we say we believe? So here's the challenge for us this morning, myself included. Jesus left his home to enter into the world of those who are broken, to offer invitation for healing and an invitation to a home where wholeness can be found with him forever. What this can look like is extremely varied for us. So I'm going to give some thoughts and allow God, right now just allow God to go, is that one me or not? Students, is God calling you to leave home at some point? And I'm saying, you know, high school, college. There are some countries in this world where, you know, I would not even be allowed. I might be allowed a tourist visa, maybe, because of what I would have to put as my profession down on a visa application. Professionals of other sorts have not just easy access, some just, you know, they would love for you to come. So just because you're not following the pastoral track in a school anywhere doesn't mean that God doesn't have a ministry for you that may require leaving home and serving in another place. Empty nesters. Few more of you here than students. Empty nesters. You are also at a stage of life where it can be easier for you to leave home, go to another place. Again, professions of all sorts can find themselves access to other countries where you can enter into broken societies, enter into homes of people that are broken. For some of you, it actually may not require leaving home. This may actually require you opening your home. Some of us, you know, we like our space. For some of you, maybe it's opening your home. Those in your community, those in your neighborhood, start inviting people over for meals, getting to know people, because as you get to know people, they will start opening up their lives to you. And guess what you'll find in the lives of those who don't know Christ? There's brokenness. Why is there brokenness in their life? Because Christ is the great physician. Healing only truly happens when Christ enters into our lives, our hearts. That's where change and transformation happens. That's why I'm encouraging. January 13th, Teen Challenge is coming. You want to hear stories of God transforming broken lives? You got to come on the 13th. Maybe it's, you know, again, leaving home in the sense of, you know, joining a sports team, joining a community association, joining some kind of community organization, just to be there. To bring your presence, to bring the presence of Christ with you into the lives of those who you may be the only significant connection to Christ that they may have. But we need to leave our comfort zones. We need to leave our homes. We need to leave our walls here. We need to leave and go to where the brokenness is. Because if we think that the brokenness is going to come here, we've tragically misread how our society functions. Broken people no longer believe the church has answers. Because one of the reasons, we've stopped leaving our walls to bring the message of healing where the brokenness actually is. As followers of Jesus, we do this. I mean, what did Jesus teach? Love God with everything you've got. All your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And his final commission, all four Gospels, the book of Acts has a different form, but I'll say it in Matthew's because it's the one I know the best. Go. Go. And make disciples. Teaching them to obey all things. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, what we believe and what we learn from Christ, it's important. Don't hear that I'm diminishing that. But we will really learn and we will really grow. And we will really know God more when we go. Because here is one of my fundamental convictions. I believe God far more wants to work through us in the brokenness of our world than he does within the sanctuaries of our churches. Here's one of my reasons for it. Pastor Sam preached on this a month and a half, 2 months ago. Parable of the lost sheep. Where is God in that parable? He's not with the 99. He's out looking for the one. He's out looking for the one that's lost. He's out looking for the one that may be hurt. He's out looking for the one that may be wounded. And if we're followers, aren't followers to be where the leader is? So as followers of Jesus this morning, I ask you this. Ask you to consider this. And the answer may not come right away. It may take some time for God to connect some dots for you. And that's okay. The journey will be well worth it. The question is this. Where is your refugee ministry? Where is your place? Where are or the places where God is calling you? As an individual, you as a family, to serve, to care for, to minister to enter into the lives of those who are broken. That's where God is calling us to be. Because that's where God's heart is. You don't have to read this much to know that God says consistently, my heart is with the broken, my heart is with the widow, my heart is with the orphan, my heart is with the poor, my heart is with the oppressed, my heart is with the afflicted. If God's heart is there, how can we not follow? For those of you here who may not be a follower of Jesus, you may hear that, and right now that doesn't have to be for you. You're not a follower of Jesus. You don't have to follow Jesus there. You're not a follower of Jesus. You're more than welcome here as not being a follower of Jesus. But I ask you to consider this. How broken is your world? How broken is your world? And what I mean by that to start is, how broken is the world within you? And I don't say that pretending that, you know, as followers of Jesus, we have everything together and we're perfect and we're all okay. No, we're broken people who've recognized that we need a Savior. We're broken people who recognize we don't have the resources within. We don't have God within us to make things okay. We need God to enter into us and to change us from the inside out. And He's in a process of doing that. And so the brokenness that has been within us is lessening over time because of His grace and power. As we follow Him, we find healing for our souls. How broken is your world? Do you want peace? How much, and this can apply to all of us as we think about, how much have we broken our own world? How much brokenness have we brought into our relationships? How much brokenness have we incurred from others? And where do we find healing for it? I'm just saying to those of you who don't follow Jesus as Lord, most of us here, we've found Christ to be the one who brings us healing. The more we follow, the more we learn, the more we grow in our relationship with God through Christ, the more our lives are changed, the more baggage gets dropped, the more freedom and peace we've found. Are you willing to consider an alternative to the path that you're walking now? Or maybe, because there are those amongst us, even as followers of Jesus, there are those amongst us who we think we have it all together. We think we're self-made individuals. We think that we are in control. And if that's you, I'm not going to try to burst your bubble, that illusion this morning, but I'll ask this question. How broken is the world around you, and do you want to make a change? I found it interesting that Pastor Sam said a phrase that I was going to use. There's only one place where there is a message that actually brings peace, that actually brings healing. And the Church of Jesus Christ is the steward of that message. The local church is the hope of the world. If you are someone not a follower of Jesus and you want to see peace, you want to see change in your world, I want to encourage you to think about this. Jesus has the message to bring the peace you want to see. Would you consider following Him? Because Jesus came to show us a better way. Jesus came to show us the way of God's kingdom. And not just to show us the way, but to invite us in. So that all of us who have experienced, who have tasted the kingdom of God, can then go back out sharing the news of the kingdom, sharing the message that there is a kingdom of peace and hope and joy, not just to be experienced one day, but today, that can change lives, that can transform communities, that has transformed communities. A way of peace in all areas of life. And to all who want to experience that peace, Jesus has just this to say. For all of us, follow me. Can we stand and pray together? Father God, thank you that you entered into our brokenness. Lord Jesus, you became one like us, one of us, because God, you are for us. Lord God, would you show us the areas of brokenness within ourselves that you are looking to bring healing to? To bring your peace. Father, may we be willing to allow you to do the work to mend those wounds, even when it hurts, so that as we find healing, we can offer that to those around us as well. Father, would you show us the places around us that are broken, that you are calling us, that you are already there working, and you are saying to us, come and be where I am. Join with me. Father, would you show us those places? Show us those relationships. Show us wherever it may be that you are longing to use us. Holy Spirit, would you show us those places? And Lord, would we have the boldness to make those steps? Father, you have done great things in this past year. Father, I praise you for the young man in Awana about a month ago who decided to follow you, to commit his life to following you. Father, I praise you for that. Father, would 2013 be a year where we don't have to celebrate just one? But Lord, we can celebrate with many, with dozens. Father, with all that you would have us bring your message of life and hope to. And Lord, may you make us uncomfortable where we are just complacent. And Lord, may we find your spirit of power and comfort and grace and love in places where we may find it hard to enter. But Lord, once we do, would you just give us a heart for those that are there, those in our lives, that we would never want to leave them, because Lord, you will not leave them. Father, again, as I close, I just want to ask your grace and your blessing and your comfort upon David Eggleton and the family in the death of a daughter and in the death of a young woman. Lord, into that brokenness, would you show us as a church family how you would have us enter and serve and love and lift up and care for? Because Lord Jesus, we are here because we want to celebrate your love and your good news by embracing all people in the mighty, loving, gracious, powerful name of you, our Lord Jesus. And all God's people here said, Amen.